Well, praise the Lord. God is good. We're going to continue with Kingdom Resurgence, Understanding Kingdom Citizenship Part 2. We're going to pick up where we left off on Sunday. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. Remember, this Kingdom Resurgence is a word that the Lord dropped in my spirit that is just absolutely, is just awesome. It's basically, he revealed to me that it's a prophetic statement where our prophetic movement, it's going to ignite kingdom principles inside of people's hearts. It's going to usher judgment and justice to his people and for his people against the forces of darkness. I emphasize that it's not against people. It's against evil spirits that has hurt his people. Justice. That's the way God operates. It's a strategic awakening where believers will rise in authority, identity, and purpose. Very important. It is to mobilize his church that that will reflect heaven's agenda and teachings, where people will have tangible results of the word in their lives, for supernatural signs and wonders, where God will begin to confirm the word in their heart that they believe concerning Jesus and the kingdom. Alrighty, well, let's get right on into this. Understanding the Kingdom Part 2, we left off Sunday where we're discussing Section 2, Identity and Code of Conduct. It was really powerful. Identity and Code of Conduct. So we were talking about, I was sharing how we are led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. In Romans 8:14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Okay? And we looked into Galatians 5:18-21, one of my favorite scriptures to change my life. And let's go ahead and start reading verse 18, where it says, "And if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Okay? The law, these are spiritual laws, where when you break a spiritual law, it shows up in your life as a curse. Now, we understand that we're no longer under the rituals of the law that brings about salvation and the mercy of God through bulls, goats, and things of that nature. We're under the new covenant blood of Jesus Christ. So faith in Jesus is what breaks or lifts the curse of God off of our life. And it also releases the Spirit of God, where we get born again on the inside. And maturity is learning to live from the inside out, meaning learning to live from the kingdom that is within. All right, now let's continue. Verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." So he's telling you this is the evidence of the work of the flesh, which are adultery. I talked about that. A lot of people, you know, want to have counseling. And don't get me wrong, adultery and things of that nature hurts people. It causes an emotional wound and a scar. But the source of it is the work of the flesh. Now, the only way that the way a person operates in the works of the flesh is because they do not know how to live out of their born again spirit. And they're being pushed by evil spirits or influences by evil spirits. Now, a lot of people do not believe that. They think it's just they need a character modification. And as Pastor Tony taught, you know, if it was that easy, then you could pick up a self-help book. And then it would change your life. And a lot of people with self-help books, it doesn't change your life. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit can change a person's life. So this being led by the Spirit is allowing the Spirit to lead you, guide you, and destroy the works of the enemy that attacks your flesh. Alrighty? Man, I see something in the spirit that we might want to talk about. You got to put walls around your eye gate. You have gates where the enemy enters in. Your eyes and your ears are gates where he enters in. A lot of these wounded issues that people have by the enemy, he's wounded people, comes when they were younger. You know, when you're young, you practice divorce, boyfriend and girlfriend, and hurting each other. So this adultery thing is, it could be an inner issue where you've been, well, usually it is an inner issue where someone's been wounded by the enemy. And so he kind of pulls on those heartstrings or that soulish part of that person. So their soul has to be renewed and be healed. And it's healed by the Holy Spirit But you have to get the word of God in your heart to renew your heart. And there's things you have to do. One of the things is you got to keep your eyes on the word of God. Meditate on the day and night, and you'll have good success feeding your spirit, man. Now, I'm saying a lot of stuff. Now, if a person doesn't understand what I'm saying, it's because nine times out of ten, you are still an immature Christian and you haven't been taught how to abide in Christ, abide in the vine, and live from the inside out. Alrighty? This is what happens when you mature. You learn how to live by your born-again spirit, man. So let me go ahead and get this done because we want to get finished with this teaching tonight. We got a lot to talk about on this subject of understanding the kingdom, this kingdom resurgency. Now, alrighty. So again, it says, the work of the flesh is evidence, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, or idol worship, sorcery. And we talk about that. Idol is anything that is more important than Jesus in your life. An idol is anything that is more important than God. Money is man's biggest idol. You understand what I'm saying? So I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that money can buy will be added to you. See what I'm saying? The world seeks those material riches and wealth. And see, being godly, part of the, oh, glory to God, part of the godly package of salvation is prosperity. Yeah. But a lot of people don't have a desire to live godly. When you have a desire to live godly above prosperity, prosperity comes with the package. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You be willing and obedient. It says you will eat the good of the land. Will it take money to eat the good of the land, right? All right. Well, I'm just saying here. Let's just look at this thing. Idol worship, sorcery, hatred, contentions, arguments, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I talked about, you know, you shouldn't be jealous of somebody. Nobody is like you. You are unique. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a personality that is out of this world. I call God a multi-personality faceted God. Our personality is not our character, and it is not, you know, it's not our character. Our personality is what makes us us. Glory to God. Our godliness is what's important. Then our character is what makes us unique. What makes us unique. That's what our grace of God is tied to. Like, I have a grace of God. I love the word. I could stay in the word 24/7 if I didn't, if I could. That's a grace. Somebody else, man, because they don't have the grace. Because the grace of my life is I'm a word lover because I'm a word dispenser. Glory to God. So my wife understands that. And she understands that that's the way I'm wired. You understand? That's part of your personality. What makes you like what color you like. Glory to God. See what I'm saying? So anyway, let me move on here. So God don't change our personality. He changes our soulish man by teaching us how to yield our soulish man to the word of God and the Holy Ghost. You understand? Mm-hmm. To learn how to walk in our righteousness. Remember I told you, righteousness is who we are. It's our born again spirit that's just like God. But you got to teach your soulish man how to yield to the righteousness of God that's already on the inside of you. Again, that's already on the inside of you. All right, let me go ahead and continue with this. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. To function in the kingdom of God, you cannot have selfish ambitions when it comes to the things of God. I'm not talking about things that you want for yourself for personal pleasures and enjoyment. But when it comes to the work of the ministry, it's what thus want the work the Lord. It's what God wants done. So you just don't just come up with something that you want to do. Amen. It's like going into the service. You've been assigned to this regiment. You've been assigned to this company. And you didn't have a choice in the matter. Well, I don't like my drill sergeant. That's not, well, yeah, that's just too bad. Because that's who you got, man. It's just, and usually your drill sergeant is the one that you need to have. Amen. You got to prepare you for war, man. You want him to pat you on the back, man. This is a spiritual war. You need a pastor that's going to prepare you for war. This is a fight to live right. Glory to God. Hear what I'm saying? It is a fight to live right.
Yes, it is.
The enemy don't want you to live godly, because if you live godly, you're going to walk in the blessings of Jesus. So you got to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. So selfish ambitions, decisions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, robberies, and such alike, I tell which you beforehand, look what I have highlighted there, that those who, look at the word, practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice. You need to learn how to show up to practice. Coming and a lot of people are failing, as I said, you're failing an open book test. All you got to do is open up the book and pass the test. Submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. But what am I? You need the word to submit to God. You got to feed your spirit man. If your spirit man is not strong enough to submit because it ain't got no word, the enemy is going to overpower you. I've been in situations back in the day where I'm doing things that I don't want to do, because my soulish man is still the Lord of my life instead of my spirit man under the direction of the Holy Spirit wasn't the Lord of my life. And what I learned is I need to stay in the word. Why you backslide, Larry? Because I got out of that word. Trying to compete and draw people into the ministry. Man, stop all that stuff. Live godly. Feed your spirit, man. All righty. Continuing on, it says we are led by the Spirit. In John 16, 13, 15, let's do some reading here. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, it says he will guide you. See this purpose of the Holy Spirit? He will guide you in all truth. Look what it says here. For he will not speak of his own authority. So the Holy Spirit doesn't speak what he wants to speak. He speaks under the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit tells you your future. He'll tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit has revealed things to me. And it's come to pass. A lot of times your faith is walking out what God revealed to you. But he has to reveal it to your spirit. And your spirit has to be clean. It has to be holy. A lot of times he can't talk to you because you're not walking and practicing your righteousness. Okay. Praise God. And it's a desire. To live godly is a desire. He gives you the desires of your heart. So if you desire to live godly, he's going to give you or empower you to live right. Like I said, a lot of people believe in God, but they don't believe in living godly. Big difference. All right. Verse 14 is important. It says, he will glorify me. Who? The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Not Larry. That me is not Larry. It is Jesus. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. So I can tell if someone is flowing in the Holy Ghost or not. The Holy Spirit, is what they're saying giving glory to Jesus, or is they out there talking about how anointed they are? Gone somewhere with all that foolishness, man. You in the flesh. All things, it says, he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine, that's Jesus. Therefore, I say unto you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's what the job of the Holy Spirit will do. Glory to God. He declares to us the things about Jesus, all that Jesus is, all that Jesus has already accomplished. Like I said, and I will always say, Jesus has accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. Amen. So we ain't got to try to accomplish anything. We just walk out what he want done. We don't have to strive for anything. It ain't about us. It's about him. And I'm talking about maturity here. This is the maturity side of this thing. Because we're talking about the kingdom resurgency. And part of the kingdom resurging and God mobilizing his church is maturity. And that's being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at this here in the book of Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, 19 through 21 is a prophetic promise of restoration, guidance as a result of intimacy with God spoken to the people of Judah during a time of rebellion. Key, rebellion. A lot of the problem going on is spirit of rebellion. People don't want to obey the God. That's called obey the word of God. That's called rebellion. And then you got people that compromise the scriptures to win people to their church. Now, it's their church. The church of Jesus Christ, the real church, is not compromised with a rebellious mentality or mindset. I'm going to do what I want to do. No rebellion here. That's treason. In the kingdom of God. Because you're immature, God doesn't just overlooks it. He overlooks immaturity. So it's rebellion and misplaced trust. And I talked about that a little bit. I want to talk about that misplaced trust. A lot of people left the church because they was trusting in the church and they wasn't trusting in Jesus. You are the church when you give your life to Jesus. So you don't need to trust in yourself. You trust in him. Glory to God, man. You can't catch that revelation. Well, you will. Isaiah 30, 19 and 21, it says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more." Look what he says. "You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you." I talked about it Sunday. I said it's graciousness time. He's ready to be gracious. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your graciousness to you at the sound of your cry. Glory to God. Cry out to him for help, for grace, for mercy. And he's going to be great. Just repent. Lord, help me. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. We all need God help. Just cry out, say, help me. But do you want to be helped to change? Do you want to live godly? Because at some point, you know, God's like, okay, you're too old to keep doing the same thing. You're too old to always go into the nightclub, seeing who you can take home with you. Come on, man. Some stuff you're just too old for. And God's like, nah, 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 we ain't playing that game. You know better. I said this one Sunday. I said, you know, you done fornicated most of your life. How long are you going to fornicate? You love fornicating so much, now you're getting pills so you can still fornicate. Come on, man. I mean, if you want to be married, you know, tell it, man. Hey, man, it ain't too late, man. It ain't too late. Let me move on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to answer for the deeds of this flesh. Now, this is for people that believe in Jesus and say they believe in God. At some point, you got to modify your behavior. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you modify your behavior. I can't modify my behavior. The Holy Spirit helps me as I cooperate with him. I take my medicine like the Holy Spirit telling me, take my medicine. I meditate on my scriptures. I say my confessions. Oh, we're going to have a God. I got a lot to teach so that my behavior can stay under the control of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. There's things you got to do at all times. I got to meditate on that word. Amen. You know, the enemy is something else. You always put somebody in front of your face, you know. Oh, man. OK, look at this little sexy girl here. Oh, God. Well, you know, well, I don't like girls, little girls. Look at, oh, man, look at this woman here. Now you got, oh, God, what's going on? And you got to learn how to control yourself. You got to learn how to deal and pluck that eye out. And you just got to tell the devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I shall not look on the woman to desire her. See what I'm saying? You got to get in that word. And the enemy will do crazy things, man, to try to get you in your flesh. But you got to take dominion over your flesh. That is your responsibility. And he's not asking you to do anything that you cannot do. Verse 20, and though the Lord gives you, though the Lord gives you, or he allowed them the bread of adversity and waters of affliction, yet your teachers, no, I ain't going there. Yet your teachers will not be moved into the corner anymore, but your eyes shall hear your teachers. What do you mean? What is he saying here? That's a statement that you got to get revelation on. Your teachers become the things that you do wrong. You learn from your mistake. A lot of people push their teacher. You've been taught something, but you don't want to listen to it or apply it in your life. Then you bump your head a few times, and then you're like, oh, now I will listen to my teachers. The law is a schoolmaster to drive you to Christ. So the heartache and the pain and the problems you're going through, it's designed to drive you to Jesus. But if you got a rebellious heart and a hard, callous heart, you won't listen to your instructions of the hard knocks of life. Ah. So your eyes will hear, will see your teachers. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way to walk in it. When you're going through something that the enemy is pulling on your flesh, he pulls on your flesh, try to get your flesh out of control or do something goofy. I call it fleshly. Just call it what it is, fleshly. The spirit will tell you what to do. I've been in situations where the Lord said, close that door. I knew what he was talking about. Close that door. Don't let that thought cycle in your heart and your mind. Don't let that thought get in your heart. Don't let the enemy continue. See, the enemy put pictures in your mind. And all of a sudden, you know, everything going great. Then he brings something up in the past. Like, I ain't thought about this person in years. Where is that coming from? That's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil bringing a picture or a photo in your heart and your mind for you to dwell on. That's a secret, covert movement of the spirit to try to get you to start dwelling on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got it. I think I posted that on Facebook. You know, obedience is warfare. And listen, man, ain't nothing to be ashamed of. We all have stupid thoughts that come in our mind. You're not the originator of those thoughts. That's the enemy bringing. And listen, whenever something, you know you're about to get a breakthrough as the enemy continues to knock on you. Glory to God. That's in the Holy Ghost. You're about to get a breakthrough when the enemy keeps trying to knock on you. He's trying to knock on that area that God then shored up in you. See what I'm saying? And now here come the enemy to test that thing. And as you stand strong and smitten under that word he's been telling you to meditate on, man, and confess, you get breakthrough in that area and the devil flee. You start rebuking him with that word. Man, I'm teaching good today, man. I'm teaching you how to do this, y'all. Glory to God. So your eyes shall hear the word behind you. The Holy Spirit talks to you. It says, walk in this way. And whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left, see, the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you into the victory that Jesus has provided you. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you into the victory that the Holy Spirit has provided for you. I'm saying it one more time. The Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you into the victory that Jesus has provided for you. Jesus has already defeated the enemy for us, but he's going to teach us how to take dominion over this flesh. Glory to God. The enemy desires you, but you shall have dominion over him. In the book of Genesis, God said that to Cain. When Cain killed his brother, Cain killed Abel. And he said that the enemy desires you, but you shall have dominion over it. That was a prophetic statement. Now that we have the Holy Spirit and Jesus has destroyed the enemy, we have the ability to have dominion over anything that the devil, there's no temptation that is uncommon to man that God has not already made a way to escape. He's not even going to let you enter, go into temptation that you can't win. So if you are losing the battle, it's because you're losing an open book test and you won't get where you need to be so you can fellowship, be built up on the inside. That's why you keep losing these battles. All right, this is good stuff this morning. All right, this evening. Continue on. Three is you are transformed by the word of God, not conformed to this world. So your identity and code of conduct, that's what we're talking about. When we come into the kingdom as kingdom citizens, we're expected to operate in our new identity, and as we operate in that new identity, we get a code of conduct. It changes our conduct as you know who you are. You understand your royalty, and you start acting as a royal citizen of the kingdom. Glory be to God. Oh, that's blessing you, man. That's blessing you. I know it's blessing you. Yeah, it's blessing me. You ain't blessing, you know. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer. This is the Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, meaning the way that this world operates, any longer with superficial values and customs. This world has worldly customs and values that's contrary, and it opposes the kingdom of God's values. But be transformed, that means, and progressively change as you mature spiritually. So if someone is not changing, it's because they're not willing to mature spiritually. This is just the way it works. This is just the truth. You got too many people that's been in church for years still carnal. You're too old to be acting carnal. Flesh stinks in the nostrils of God. Carnality stinks. At some point, you got to say, okay, I'm going to grow up. You even make your children grow up at some time. You're not going to keep changing them. At some point, you know, they go from Pampers to pull-ups to regular underwear to big boy and big girl underwear. And some Christians just don't want to grow up. Crying and all that stuff. You got to learn how to pray to God and get answers to your prayers. Always going up, getting the pastor to pray for you. I ain't going to be praying for no big old person that shit knows the scriptures. I'm going to tell you how to do your own praying and how to meditate on the scripture and get breakthrough for yourself. The purpose of it, of the fivefold ministry, is to equip you for the work of the ministry. People can't even share Jesus with people. If I ask you right now, you know, I want to know Jesus. Can you show me who my Jesus is from the scriptures? Well, man, you what you learning there? Wait, never mind. I'm not trying to tear nobody down. I'm saying at some point you got to grow up. Some stuff should be, you should be tired of drinking and smoking and fornicating. I said it. You ought to be tired of drinking and smoking and fornicating and cheating on your spouses. Good Lord. They got the audacity to get upset about certain things. As you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, how do you mature? By the renewing of your mind, what? To the Word of God, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what? That God's way is better. Glory to God. I done proved for myself God's way is better than the world's way. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the enemy of your soul is the devil, trying to stop you from receiving what Jesus has died to provide for you. Okay? So, you got to understand that. That's the fight. The fight is the enemy. Don't want you to walk in what Jesus has done for you. All right. Continuing on with section 2. I've been here 22 minutes or so. Section 2. Identity and code of conduct. You are transformed by the word, not by the world. Still talking about that. We're just picking up some more here. Jesus prays for his disciples. Now, I want you to see what he prayed. There's a reason I'm putting this here. It says, For I have given to them the words which you have given me. Now, this is Jesus praying to God the Father before his passion of going to the cross. That they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. That they have believed that you sent me. These are original 12 or 11 at this point. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Look what it says. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all are mine, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Did you see that? Jesus is glorified in them. Now, this is what I want us to look at. It says, now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I came to you, Holy Father. Look what he says. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one with, maybe one as we are one. So they're in one union together. Continuing on. 12 says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them I lost except the son of perdition, and the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. So this is Jesus' prayer to God, that they might have his joy fulfilled in them. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. We've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son's love, Jesus. So we're supposed to be operating in the joy of Jesus. The joy of what he's done. The joy of who he is. 14. I've given them your word, and the world loved them. That ain't what it says. It says the world hated them because they are not of this world. They're not of the world. So worldly people are not supposed to actually love us. See, you're trying to win people by compromise. So worldly people that like the church, I said worldly people that's living in sin, that likes the church, it's because you're compromising the truth. This is the scriptures. And this is Jesus praying. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. So he said, don't take us out of the world. We're going somewhere today. Because we're in this world, but we're not this world. We're of the kingdom of God, not of the kingdom of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are ambassadors. We are direct representatives and descendants of God, representing him in the world. That's who we are as members of the body of Christ. And our job is to change the world, not compromise with the world. I'm going to say it again. Our job is to change the world and not compromise the world. And truth is Jesus. Truth is Jesus came to destroy the works of sin and Satan. So people that don't want to come to the light don't want to live right. And you can't compromise that thinking you are preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is he set you free and delivered you from your sin nature. If you still want to live in sin, you don't want Jesus. You want sin. You want to live in the darkness. And too many people are compromising to fill seats. But people that want to live right is going to come sit in the seats and learn how to live godly. Glory to God, at least in this place. I'm not compromising. A lot of people compromise to feel a part of something. Well, you still got low self-worth and self-esteem, because when you know who you are in Jesus, you ain't got to compromise. It's called love. Love tells the truth. Love points them to Jesus. Jesus came to destroy them from sin and Satan. That's the work of Jesus, is to destroy the works of Satan. And Satan sinned from the beginning. So if people still want to live a life of sin, they don't want Jesus. So you can talk all you want, I love God. But if you don't love living godly, you're deceived, baby. You are 100% deceived. And I'm not judging nobody. Like I said, look at me and Sister Tony. You look at what repentance looked like. We were there. You just got to make your mind up, man. You got to make your mind up. I want to live godly. I said, I want to live godly, not go to church. See, a lot of people go to church, but they don't want to live godly. This church is for people that want to live godly. And I'm not going to cry about it, because you don't have to live godly if you don't want to. You can go straight to hell and bust it wide open if you want to. You have a right to go to hell if you want to. And you have a right to go to heaven. The choice is yours. He said, I set before you this day, death or life. Then he says, choose life. Glory to God. The choice is yours. God's so good, he gave you the answer to the test, man. How you going to fill an open book test? Man, he told you what to choose. Choose Jesus. He's life. Glory to God, man. I'm trying to meet you. I got to get done with this, man. I come back Sunday and finish. I don't care, man. I mean, I'm believing God for people that's going to give their life to Jesus, man. I said, I'm believing for God that's going to give their life to Jesus. Glory to God. Like me and Tony did. I don't want no parts of that. You know, they got homecoming. I don't give a rat's rump about homecoming. I want Jesus, man. Ain't none of that important to me. Going up there and reminisce about all the things you used to do in the past. Come on, man. Don't. I ain't trying to hear all that nonsense. The old Larry is dead. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Are you trying to be holier than thou? Yeah, I am. Yes. Amen. You judge me right. I don't want no part of anything to hell. That's what you want to do, do it. I'm free to live godly. Glory to God. Glory to God. And can't nobody shame me for my salvation. You don't like it? I was thinking about this as I was coming today to share this word. I was thinking about this. I said, Lord, I am so glad that my salvation is predicated on my faith and not somebody else's. Glory to God. Because if my salvation is based on somebody else's faith, I would be going to hell right now. Because people, man, they, you know what I'm saying? But salvation is based on your faith. Faith. It's a personal thing. You can't change it, man. Ooh, and I love you, man. I don't care. I love you anyway, but I'm not going to participate in that sin life. Hey, watch this. Godliness is a lifestyle. Glory to God. I said, godliness is a lifestyle. Now that'll preach. Godliness is a lifestyle. And you say you godly, but you sitting around your table talking about people. No, he said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. That's carnality. All right, I don't know where that came from. Where I live at. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of this world. Just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. Thank you. I believe in Jesus' prayer. You got to want to be kept. If you want God to keep you from the wicked one, you got to choose to be kept. All right, let's move on. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them. How? By your truth. Your word is truth. So if you're not walking in the word, you're not walking in your sanctification. Set aside for the master's use. Glory to God. John 17. I'm still talking about our new identity and code of conduct. Don't get me wrong. We respect people in the world's choice, but we don't love the sinful lifestyle that they have. It's not for me to criticize or tear them down for their lifestyle because I walked in sin. I respect their choices in life. At the same token, I ain't practicing it in my life anymore. And so we should live in a way that people want to live saved. And that's half our problem in the church. We got to start living godly before people so that they can see the benefits of godliness in our life. You know, I was looking at that. You know, I'm looking at people on you know, Facebook, you know, because I get on Facebook just to look and some things entertain me. But I'm seeing gay people sitting on there smiling and happy and, you know, kissing and hugging on each other and got money. Well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for you, the just, the righteous. But God can't give it to you because you won't live right. He ain't going to take it from them to give it to Christians that's living in sin. And you wonder, see, he's trying to put you in divine assignment by taking the wealth of the wicked, by giving you their jobs, giving you their jobs, giving you their jobs, giving you those permission, their positions and their businesses. So you think the prosperity message is about selfish stuff. No, it's about you having financial dominion because money, your money, you can use the money to control and change laws. Yeah. You got wicked men with money. That's why the world is the way it is. But until we start rejecting the prosperity, money is a defense. So if you broke, nobody ain't going to listen to you. I'm talking about worldly people. They ain't going to respect you. But see, that's part of God's judgment and justice to begin to defend the poor and the widows. Yeah. How? By giving it to righteous people. There's much in the tillage of the poor. But there is want for lack of, read the Bible, justice. 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 He says, in 18, as you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. Verse 19, and for their sake, he says, I sanctify myself. For their sake, why? Now he's going to receive all, you know, because he received all authority in heaven and earth. That's why he had to now enter into his position of glory and authority. Glory to God. So he can expand his throne dominion through the church world as we come up under his covering of lordship of our life. Man, I'm teaching good today. Lord told me just let this thing flow from now on. Don't hold back that rhema you've been holding. Yeah. See, that's what the devil fight. Remember I told you about storms and problems? The storms is to stop you from reaching the people that you need to reach on the other side. There's rhema hidden on the inside of you. There's heaven on the inside. There's something in you that's going to set people free. Anyway, he told me, let that thing loose. Go on and flow. Go on and flow. Go on and flow. Because there's people that needs to hear this, and it's making your spirit jump. Do somersaults on the inside. It's making that popcorn pop. Glory to God. He says, so 19 again, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. All righty. Look at verse 20. And I have that there clear. Jesus prayed for all believers. Look, all believers, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me, who believe in Jesus through their word. So this book is the word that they have written concerning Jesus. And as we receive and believe in Jesus through the word of God that's been written, the prayers for us too, doggone it. We're in the beloved. He's praying for us. See, Jesus has prayed for me. So now my job and your job is to cooperate with his prayer.
Amen.
Walk in what he's already prayed for you. Glory to God. That we might walk in oneness with God. Man, can you handle? Yeah, you can handle this time to grow up. That you can walk in the oneness with God. One in oneness and purpose and his plan. So he can use you to fulfill his divine plan in the earth through you. The purpose of your education and your job was to put you in a place where you take over a mountain of authority and dominion. To come into a place of rulership and so that he can rule through you. We need godly politicians. Some of you are supposed to be in politics. Glory to God. They help change laws. Whew. Instead of sitting around the table crying, pray for godly politicians. and get all them ungodly people out of there. They in there for them selfish selves anyway. All right, well, praise the Lord. Last scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:13-18, it says, But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Did you see that? The glory of the Lord. So when we look in the Word, when we look in the Word of God, it's a mirror that gives a reflection. It reveals to us like water gives reflection of face. As you look into the Word of God, you start seeing who you are in Christ.
Amen.
As you look into the Word of God, you see what you got in Jesus.
Yes.
Now, if you're not being revealed from Scriptures through a man or a woman of God, who you are and what you have in Jesus, you are being cheated of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not coming to see who you are in Christ, you're useless. You'll never grow up. You'll never mature. If they're teaching you how to be a church folk and not a member of the body of Christ, you're being cheated of your salvation. You're being cheated of your benefits in Christ. This is the truth. And they might not be called by God. Because a real man or woman of God is called to teach you Jesus. Paul said he came to form Christ in you. Form Christ in you means to get you to grow up and walk in your Christ nature on the inside. But the problem is you got people that don't know who they are trying to tell you who they are. Trying to tell you who you are. It's impossible to tell somebody who they are in Christ if you don't know who you are in Christ. Brother Larry, well, yeah, you heard what I said. You don't believe in laying hands on the sick and they recovering. Why? Because you don't believe in the ministry of Jesus. And you know, all you need is a good educated person to take away from you the power of the simplicity of the gospel. I thought about that today too. I said, Lord, I thank you that the grace on my life is I'm not smart enough to complicate the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not intellectual enough to do intellectual gymnastics with a bunch of pretty words and speech to distract people from seeing the simplicity of the scriptures. Instead, I point you to what the words say and teach you, just like Paul taught you, Apollos is to teach you not to think beyond what is written. What the scriptures say, what the words say about that thing is my brother, my pastor, my father in the faith. Brother Barry used to say, Brother Larry, what the words say about that thing? The word is the final authority. Find out what the words say. Stop asking me stupid questions. Grow up and open up the Bible and see what that thing say. And walk in it and do what it say. Back at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed into His image. Glory to God. Colossians 3:10 says, and having put on the new man. Did you see that? You got to put him on. That means you got to do something. Look how it's read. It says, and having put on. The new man. I put him on. You put him on by renewing your mind. You put him on by looking at that word. You put him on by saying what the words say you are in Christ. That's how you put him on. You dress yourself. Clothe yourself in Christ. Meditate on them scriptures. I got some things that I got prepared that I'm going to be putting on the website about confessions and things of that nature. Man, I'm going to teach you this thing. And we're going to walk free of the things of God. We're going to do it God's way and not the world's way. You heard what I said. We're going to do it God's way, not the world's way. He said to meditate on the word day and night. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We're going to do it the God's way and not the world's way. Hallelujah. Trust the Holy Spirit to touch people's heart to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The Holy Spirit is my marketing strategy. I can't get nobody to come to Jesus. Jesus himself couldn't get nobody to come to him. Jesus said that unless the Lord draw them, they ain't going to come.
Amen.
And I ain't got the ability to manipulate your emotions or tantalize your intellect. I'm just a young brother that barely graduated high school, went to college and had no idea what I was doing. But I love Jesus and he showed me this book. Amen. The devil messed with my mind for years, but Jesus prayed for me. And he's praying for you. Hallelujah. I was just thinking about something here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ain't God good? Psalms 1 says, "Blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." I'm not scorning anybody. I'm just telling you what the word says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is to love Jesus, to believe in his son Jesus. Glory to God. Have faith in Jesus. And in him, the law, and in his law, he meditateth day and night. You got to meditate in the word day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water and bring forth his fruit in his season. So what's the key? You got to meditate on the word. That's how you put on the word.
Yes.
You got to put it in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we put on the new man and we're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created all things. That's the word. We're being conformed into the image of the word. So we're to walk according to our born again spirit, not our flesh, because walking in the flesh stops the power of the kingdom from manifesting. I'm going to say it again. We must walk according to our born again spirit. Our spirit man feeds on the word, not cliches and fancy speech. It feeds on the word, which is chapters and verses of the scriptures, particularly words about Jesus. He's the bread of life.
Yeah.
And when you feed on who he is and what he's done for you, it builds your faith. Glory to God. So you can walk in it. According to your born again spirit. So we walk according to your born again spirit and not according to flesh. Why? Because walking in the flesh stops the power of the kingdom from manifesting on the inside of you. Thank you, Father God. So now I want to declare to you, you are a citizen of heaven. I declare this. You are a citizen of heaven. Free from worldly traditions. You walk in divine authority, led by the Spirit. Empowered to bring heaven's agenda to the earth. You are chosen, appointed, holy, and expected and accepted by God. You're accepted by God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up against you, you shall condemn. It's your heritage. Any tongue of the enemy that has spoken against you, I condemn it. Right now, in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Till next time, I love you. Have a great, great evening.